Hey, it's 6:37 p.m. on Friday, November 2nd, 2007. And I'm sitting here in the sculpture garden of the Museum of Modern Art here in Manhattan, New York City. And I'm recording this intending for it to be part of the Overnightscape Underground. And I have not started the Overnightscape Underground yet. It has not begun yet. Let me shift chairs here. These chairs are not that comfortable, but... I haven't started the Overnightscape Underground yet, but I feel like I'm going to very soon. And already today I recorded three episodes of the regular Overnightscape. I recorded 6:54, 6:55, and 6:56. And I just recorded 6:56 on the way over to the museum here. And I was thinking, you know, should I record some more? Well, yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't want to overdo it. I don't have the area code of this episode. My Trio, of course, has a battery problem. The battery died again. So I was thinking, like, all right. Then I realized, hey, I can record for the Overnightscape Underground. Right? Even though I haven't started it yet, this is now a place where I can record. And I don't know. I don't have to be so... I don't know what you want to say. It can be a little bit more long form, a little deeper, you know? So I want to describe this place. I've actually recorded here before. It's a sculpture garden. It's basically an outdoor garden with a stone, you know, ground. Stone, flat stone floor. Is that the right way to say it? There's a little pool there and a little bridge that goes over the pool and some random sculptures and stuff. It's nice and dark out here. The lighting is very cool. You know, like where I am, it's not dark, but there's no light shining right on here. Surrounding it on three sides is the museum itself. I think now and then behind me is a wall, and it basically is just it's just a wall that separates the sculpture garden from 54th Street, right? So 54th Street is right there. It's just a wall. So, to my right, I'm looking up, and I see the actual, like, main part of the museum there. And you're looking up, I can see in the design section, the train schedule board they have there. And they have a very cool car there. It's like a Peugeot. It's totally what you would think from one of those, like, whatever, like, 1960s, like the super cool, hip 1960s, you know, the Avengers or Austin Powers or whatever. This amazing little... convertible sports car, just a beautiful car. And then you're looking up, you can see a couple of the levels up there. What is up there on that top level? Is that a restaurant, or is that more art? Are those chairs up there? I don't know. I think it's, maybe it's like one of the restaurants they have. Maybe people can sit out there. Really? I didn't know that. And then straight across from me is another part of the museum. There's one corridor. Ooh, here's someone taking a picture of this area. Ooh, this sculpture moves. This sculpture is almost like sort of like a pair of scissors a little bit. And like it has a little motor, and occasionally it just moves. It's kind of cool. And then, to my right here, in between the two parts of the museum, is actually sort of a skyscraper. I think it's museum towers. I think it's residences, like condominiums. You know, I'm sure they cost a pretty penny. And then to the left is more of the museum and stuff. So it's a large structure. So I didn't spend too much time in the museum. They have... they're putting together something called what's the guy's name, James Purier or something. But you know, I it was interesting. I went to the top level and they had George Seurat, the sketches. So I don't know. Is this the guy that did that Sunday in the Park with George? Is that like that very famous picture? These are his sketches and stuff. So I guess they're cool. I wasn't really that into the sketches though. What's going on over there? Is that like a sculpture or a person? Is it someone like sort of sitting on a sculpture? Is that allowed? I don't know. Weird. I'm not sure what's going on over there. Anyway, then they had some preliminary sketches and like some paintings that were sort of like there was one. You know what I'm talking about, right? Is that called Sunday in the Park with George? It's like a picture of like a park and a lake, and in the real picture there's like a bunch of people hanging out, like old like men and women from like the 1890s with, you know, like the big dresses and the parasols and stuff. But this was just sort of like that same scene without any people. I guess he was testing it out. everyone was like looking at it, oh, you know. Then this Puryear guy, I guess they're installing, it's one of those things that if you're a museum member, you know, you get to go in, but other people are not allowed, you know, so until later. So then I went down one level, and then, you know, you can look down on that main atrium level, the main section, and they usually have that sort of weird obelisk type thing there, but now I think it's this guy, James Puryear guy, whatever his name is. And I looked down and I was looking at the art, and I almost felt like afraid of heights. I'm never afraid of heights, but looking at this art made me feel like weird, like almost like, not like vertigo, but like a fear of heights kind of feeling. It was weird looking down, because this art was really cool. It was like a giant like wagon wheel kind of thing connected to like this weird like basket thing, huge, like 20 feet tall. Then there was like a little sort of what would be like a little, like, you know, like a little what would you say, like the thing, like if you had a horse and a little wagon, you know, a little wagon you would hitch up to a horse or a donkey or something, with a giant, it looked like a stone that was made of like wood, and then like the post of it sort of went all the way up to the ceiling, getting thinner and thinner, and then there's like a ladder that like gets smaller and smaller as it goes up, and I really felt almost like dizzy looking down at this stuff, and you know, saw it from a bunch of levels, and I saw it at the ground level, and really some very beautiful, beautiful designs. I think it's beautiful stuff. I mean, it really, you know, they are beautiful designs, really. And I looked at a lot, you know, I went through the second level down, the fourth floor that has a lot of, like, the more super modern art. You know, like the blank canvases and the things that are just sort of splattered, and Jackson Pollock and stuff like that. And a lot of the stuff I realized, you know, this stuff is attractive. They're nice designs, you know. But, like, I think what the problem that I have with it is, like, taking it from it's a cool design to it's a work of art and it's, like, this amazing thing that's worth millions of dollars, you know? That's what sort of gets me. I mean, I appreciate the designs of a lot of the stuff. You know, some of it I think is just deliberately ugly and just smearing stuff around. But a lot of it are really nice designs. But I just don't know if the idea, like, I heard people talking about, you know, modern art is makes you think. You know, it's something that's thought-provoking, and I can understand that. That's very cool. But why then is the actual object, the physical thing, why is it worth so much money? Why do people want to? I must have it in my personal collection, you know? Doesn't it sort of go counter to that? Wouldn't it just be like, can't you imagine a much healthier thing where people are just like, you know, here are some new things I made, some new designs that kind of make you think about stuff, you know? Wouldn't that be nicer? Yeah, I think so. I don't know, but this is still, it's a fascinating place, and, you know, I guess part of it is, you know, sort of, everyone looks at this stuff from a different perspective. I used to look at this stuff when I was younger from a very naive perspective. I'm like, oh yeah, this is good stuff, it's good. Like, deep down, I really was confused. It's like, why is this blank, splattered thing on the wall? I don't know, it must be good, you know, like, these people must know what they're doing to put it on the wall, but, like, they, you know, I realize that it's not, and I think, you know, I read some of those conspiracy theories, which, you know, I'm not sure about these ones, but they say basically, ooh, the thing is moving again, there it goes, that's cool. You know, they say that, you know, that the modern art movement, at least part of it, you know, like Andy Warhol and stuff, was deliberately designed to damage the human spirit, to deliberately create meaningless and ugly works of art and then have people, you know, praise them as being great. And that would cause confusion and degradation of the human soul and degradation of the world of beauty and art and design and the human mind and the human spirit and human heart and the human soul would cause a degradation when you have something blatantly meaningless and ugly. Oh my God, isn't that beautiful? And then someone observing this, where an art critic or gallery owner or other people, yeah, isn't that great? You know, yeah, someone just took some paint and splattered it on there. Oh, it's beautiful. It's important. It's amazing. That can cause, you know, a degradation of the spirit. And I think it could have been part of this whole conspiracy to sort of weaken and destroy the people, you know? This is interesting. I do like this. I like the idea that I'm recording something for the Overnightscape Underground. you know, I like I said, I still haven't completed the whole thing yet, but I'm very close. In fact, I have some logo designs I'm working on that I've been working on lately that I think this may be it. I've been really struggling over the logos and stuff for this and the name of it and everything else, but I'm pretty much settled now. And I have the letters O-N-S-U-G, over Nightscape Underground. And that's definitely the file name, O-N-S-U-G underscore, you know, will be the file name. And I have a logo. I think I'm going to be using it. You probably will know by now if I use it or not. It's just O-N-S-U-G done in a very much like in a grid of squares. Very simply. And then I have, like, it's white on black. And then I have, like, a band that's sort of a photograph. And then I have just the words, The Over Nightscape Underground. And then, like, day one, day two in a very simple typeface. And I've been working on that. So far, it's the best design I think I've gotten. It's funny, though, trying to design logos now, me being aware of all of the different symbols of the conspiracy or the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, and trying to steer clear of anything that has, like, rays of the sun or eyes or pyramids or anything, like triangles. Like, it's almost like every kind of design becomes, like, something that could be interpreted as being part of the conspiracy. It's annoying. Like, I know that when I designed the logo for the Anything But Monday show, we had several renditions of it, which had sort of like rays of sun coming out of it. And I didn't design it because I thought it looked good, you know? It looked sort of like bright and good. And, you know, I think I was even aware of that Illuminati stuff. I'm like, but just, it just looks good. And I just need to design this damn thing and get it done. And it looks good, so whatever, you know? So I think that's just a lesson that not every logo out there that has those kind of pyramids or eyes or rays, they're not necessarily, not all of them are intentionally, you know, Illuminati, whatever you want to say. But some of them are, I think, like, you know, Fidelity Investments, it's a pyramid with like a sun rays, like a sun behind it, you know, that's kind of blatant. And then, you know, the capstone of the pyramid is separated, you know, that's kind of a blatant one. Yeah, if it's a bank or something, I can see that. But what I find interesting about this is that, to me, the Overnightscape Underground is just like the Overnightscape, except it's much, much more expansive, right? It's almost like there's, you want to say, almost a limitless expanse of space for audio. And the way that I'm going to be doing it, of course, is essentially the Overnightscape Underground is just, it's an unlimited thing. It just keeps going and going and going. Probably going to be releasing it per 24 hours, right? Each 24 hours I record, I'll release that as sort of day one, day two, day three. But sort of definitely designed so that each piece, like this piece right now, whatever I'm going to wind up calling it, will be in a file unto itself. And something, or in more advanced systems, it'll be something that you can reference and easily skip over, go back to, right? Explore within the piece, whatever you want. I hope eventually for all of my audio works to really have them indexed very well so that within an interactive audio system where you can imagine you just speak into the air and any speakers that are near you in your house or your car will respond and you can play these anything of this sort directly and navigate through it in a very, the computer will help you to navigate through it in a very intelligent way. So, but in that, I don't feel as much pressure I look at it as depth, you know, like they talk about like playlists in you know, music radio, rock radio, you know, it can be a I don't know what, I'm not sure what the other term is, like a deep playlist is where they'll go back and play lots of songs, lots of different songs, and songs people may not be familiar with, going deep. And on the other hand, you're just being sort of like on shallow or surface level, trying to do stuff that's might be more immediately entertaining and engaging to people. And I believe in the value of both completely. You know, I really, in the Overnightscape, I really try to keep things very, you know, engaging and on a surface level. And I've noticed a real sort of conflicting force when it comes to putting deeper stuff in there. You know, like some of my dream recordings that can sort of just go on and on. Or perhaps not appropriate for the Overnightscape, but for the Overnightscape Underground, it's perfect, because this is the kind of thing that I do feel it becomes more interactive, where you can explore an entire world of audio. And some things, if you're in the mood to listen to, you can listen to it more, or you can skip over it, come back to it, right? It's more of something you can navigate and go through. So as I'm recording this, I feel like, you know, I have sort of a different, restrictions or set of guidelines for what I'm saying. I know people are going to be hearing this, and I do want to make it engaging, but I also think that I don't have to be quite as surface or as whatever the right word is there. Now, by contrast, I do record a lot of notes, especially in this process of coming up with the Overnightscape Underground. I've gone around recording a lot of notes, and these are things that I'm recording not intending to release them, or if I did, it would be in a very, you know, not all of them, or maybe a little bit, just as examples, and I sound a little bit different, and I have a different focus and everything else. So that's why this, to me, is fascinating, because it's a middle ground. And I'm much more comfortable being a little more deep. And again, the word deep doesn't mean I'm like being like all philosophical or whatever. I'm just, it just, the content's a little deeper. So this is interesting. It's really quite enjoyable. Let's start walking around here. What do we have? There's actually, I'm looking at this damn newspaper on this chair in front of me. There's a newspaper here. Yale Daily News, oldest college daily. Wow, someone has the Yale News here. What are the headlines? After a heated spring, Ward 22 quiets down. Father to sue Explo for wrongly expelling son. Princeton at risk of losing donor's gift. So, New Haven, Connecticut. YaleDailyNews.com. Interesting. Interesting newspaper. It was like folded in half, just sitting on this chair in front of me as I'm talking. You know how you're sort of distractedly looking at something, you don't really think about it. So here's this little bridge going over the water, very still pool, rectangular pool. It's very nice right here. It's like very nice and dark. A lot of these uncomfortable little chairs, and it's really nice because like beyond the structures, you see more buildings. Like more buildings of New York over the wall. I mean, the wall is like, I don't know, 20, 30 feet high. It's almost like a prison wall. And you have these sort of sculptural flat wall thingies. Oh, there's that thing. I do like, oh, here's that. This is cool. This is the obelisk I was talking about that's normally inside the museum. It's out here now. It's like a pyramid and an upside down obelisk. Very occultish. Definitely the pyramid and the the symbols of male and female and everything is very symbolic structure. Oh, here's another bridge. Let me go over this bridge. And here's like a statue of this larger than life, like a female character falling into the water. Kind of interesting. I'm sure it's some god or goddess. Let's see what it says over here. Could it be? I can't even read it. It's made by Aristide Malol, 1944, The River. It's just called The River. It's owned by Mrs. Simon Guggenheim Fund, 1949. It's made of lead, okay? Made of lead. And then there's a piece here made from pieces of metal. What is this, like? Is this like pieces from the World Trade Center or something? I don't know. What is it? Welcome. Please visit the reading room inside to your right. Ooh. Oh, wow, there's like a race car on the wall there. That's kind of cool. Yeah, what part of the museum is this? This is like the reading room or something? I don't know. I'm trying to see if we can find the label for this piece of art. Let's see. This is Marc de Suervo. Marc de Suvero, 4 Roebling, 1971, steel. Gift of Mr. and Mrs. S.I. Newhouse Jr., 1991. Then we have a little statue of a snake. And this is the thing that I really like. I really like this a lot. This is... first of all, the snake is made by Polygnotos G. Vagis. It was made in 1942. Gift of the artist in memory of his wife, Sylvia Bender Vagis, 1964. But this is a... It's like an arch... made in the Art Nouveau style, and it says Metropolitan in a beautiful Art Nouveau font. Two lights. I'm trying to find the the caption for this thing. Let's see. Here it is. Hector Guimard, French, 1867 to 1942. Entrance gate to Paris subway, Metropolitan station, circa 1900. Painted cast iron, glazed lava and glass. What? Is this made of lava? What? Gift of Régie Autonome des Transports Parisiens, 1958. So, so this is the entrance of the Metropolitan station. It's a beautiful thing. It's actually a very beautiful object, the way it's made. Those lights. The lights almost look like little pumpkins or something. Very cool. I can really get into it. It's like part of a transit system. Too bad they don't have a picture of it in its original use, but it's a beautiful thing. So I like that one a lot. So it's kind of nice out here, you know, just hanging in a sculpture garden. Not too many people out here. I don't really think it's cold. It was much colder if you heard that episode of the Overnightscape 655 when I was out in that park. It was freaking cold. I think it's just not as windy now. So what else have we here? This is a weird sculpture. There's like a chain coming off of it. Like, what's that all about? This is by Klaus Oldenburg. Geometric Mouse Scale A. So, ooh, look, there's a fine restaurant right here. The tables are set. Look at that, I'm looking in on, is this art or is this a real restaurant? There's three tables with candles going and wine glasses and everything. I don't know. I don't know if it's art or if it's a real restaurant. But yeah, there's a chain and I don't know what there is here. There's chains with like a little, almost like a little tag or something. And, oh, it's supposed to look like a mouse. It's kind of weak. That one's kind of weak. I'm sorry. Then we have just like a giant cube. This is where the art gets a little bit like, come on, get out of here. It's just like a giant.
Some bastards carved away this coffee.
I could say some pastors carved away the sculpture. There's just like a metal cube. Let's see what this is called. I have to like kneel down to read it because it's so dark out here. This is called Dye, 1962, fabricated 1998. So what, the guy had the idea, I have a great idea, it's 1962. I want to make a steel cube. And then in 1998 they actually made it. Wow, what a genius. Now here are some chairs. I don't know if you can sit on these. I don't know if this is art or is actually something you can sit on. They look like chairs, though. I'm too scared to sit on them. I don't know. They're made out of stone or something. Then we have the goat. Was that some guard guy looking at me? You're allowed to record. If you're allowed to take videotape, you're allowed to take audio tape. The little deformed goat. Some more abstract sculptures. And looking over here, here's another piece of crap. It's just like industrial, like rectangles. I'm kind of dumb. Let's see what this one is called. Yes, it is called by Donald Judd. It is called Untitled. Yes, isn't that getting old at this point? The whole like concept of everything Untitled. You know, here's another one, kind of weak. Alexander Lieberman, Temple One. At least the guy gave it a name, not a very good one. But, oh, okay, over here. There's a sculpture, but there's chairs by it, so someone was sitting in front of it, but they weren't, you know. The sculpture is called Whale 2. Alexander Calder. These people are just... Oh, man. There's the escalator that goes down to the movie section. That's cool. Ooh, they weren't sitting there before. Alrighty, so I'm going to, head out here. Head out. Let's see. I'm sure it would be fine to record in the whole museum. I don't know. Let's go in. Get into the Museum of Modern Art. Right. See what's going on. Thank you. there's that stuff. Well, the guy's name is Martin Puryear, P-U-R-Y-E-A-R. Martin Puryear, Puryear. There's that thing going up in the sky. I'm getting like dizzy looking at this stuff. Thanks to Target. I want to thank Target Corporation for the free ticket tonight. Always great to come in here for free. 4 to 8 p.m. Friday nights. They've been doing it for quite a while, since they reopened the place. Let's go to the design and bookstore, shall we? See what's going on in here. So this is a good art. Barry Friedlander, Place and Time. It's like just a picture of a convenience store. That's a good piece of art. All right. So what do we have here? There's a lot of fun stuff in this place. You can buy toys and little fiddly things, little puzzles and bags and pictures and all sorts of fun stuff. This is where I got my Boing Boing, you know. Books and all the great things. Let's see what we got over here. What is this, a game called Smash? Got here. The Munnies, M-U-N-N-Y. What's this? Lucky Charm. It's a little like creature, like a little ghost you can draw on. Oh, there's a Boing Ball. They got a new shipment of Boing Balls. Great. Of course, the dryer balls are the best. They should have dryer balls here. They really should. That's one of the greatest works of art of the 21st century. Nice. A lot of good stuff. A lot of great stuff in here. What are you going to do? Of course, in recent years, Moleskine have become huge. Those little notebooks with the elastic straps. Little placemats. All sorts of stuff. Smart candles. Ooh, with no flame, no heat, no waxing, no scent. The smart candle is a practical alternative to conventional candles. The candle uses LED to generate long-lasting flickering light that simulates a wax candle flame. Is this on? Is this thing on? With its windproof ambient light, smart candles safe for indoor or outdoor use. May be used with flammable materials such as paper, wood, plastic, dried flowers, and fabric. 4 AAA batteries included, emits up to 50 hours of light instead of 2. Didn't I have something like that? It was a candle thing. Yeah. It was a candle. How was this? Oh, wow. There was a candle. I had one of those little candles. It was like wax with a light in it. Here's something called a little lamp. That's kind of cool. It's just a battery and a lamp. That's kind of cool. How does it work? It's like a D-sized battery. And you just pull this little thingy and the light goes on. That's interesting. I don't quite see, like, where you can, like... I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Whatever. Alright. Alright. Get the heck out of here. What are these?
She had fun.
Good.
Get the hell out of here. I'm done with this stuff. Enough. Enough museum mess for tonight. Okay, enough. Alright, here we are. 53rd Street. Yes. Yes. So here we are in the Urbanscape Underground. Oh, the Folk Art Museum Shop. More museums. There's so many museums and museum shops around here. Very nice. It's like kind of a cool store. And here's the area with all of the MoMA, Museum of Modern Art, like barriers for when it's almost like a huge parking lot. And this is where they corral the herds of people as they're coming into the museum when it's busy. There's been times when I've waited a long time on there. Usually when it's a long wait, I'll just skip it, you know. But very cool to be able to go to that museum for free. I really do enjoy that, because for $20, it's kind of painful, you know. Like, if you were going to go there, you'd want to go there for, like, all day, you know. Ay, yay, where are we going to go now? I don't know. Gotta go home. So, We'll just head over. Oh, this is like, this is like that, what I used to do. The whole like cigar and Letterman thing. I used to, when I worked down on Varick Street, I would take the E-train up to the 5th Avenue stop, get out, go to the Davidoff Cigars there on Madison, I believe, and I would go buy a cigar, start smoking it, walk down this street, right past the museum, and I would head down to the David Letterman show and go hang out by the side entrance waiting to see the celebrities while I'm smoking my cigar. And this was like my my ritual. Then I would walk down Broadway and go home. You know, so I'm on that same sort of route. I haven't done that in a long time. But it was kind of cool. I mean, I'm trying to think of some celebrities I saw. I remember Susan Sarandon was there, and all of these like Rocky Horror people were there trying to get her autograph on Rocky Horror stuff. I saw Shania Twain. Like, she ran out of there. Like, she completely, like, dissed all her fans, just ran out of there. I've seen Tori Amos there. Who else? A bunch of people. I guess those are the most memorable ones. I don't know. But it was the best part. Like, usually I didn't even see anyone. I would just wait there for, like, a long time smoking my cigar, kind of sometimes talking to the people, the crowd of people gathered out there. And then, you know, looking at the smoke coming out of the top of Worldwide Plaza, steam. Kind of cool. Like Worldwide Plaza sort of has a pyramid on the top of it, and it's like steam comes out at the top of the pyramid. Kind of cool. What is this? Etrusca Cucina Toscana. Very elegant. Very elegant restaurant. New York Marketplace. Ooh, what's this? That looks kind of cool. What is it? I'm looking here. Is it just like a giant... I guess it's just like a giant restaurant. It looks kind of like an open space, though. That's weird. I don't know. I've seen a lot of new stuff today. It's interesting. Starbucks, of course. So where is this Letterman? Oh, it's coming up here. I think I've only gone to see the Letterman show once, I think. And it was to see Tori Amos there. And it was, you know, being there was like, all right. But it's kind of like, it's like you're stressed out. It's confusing getting in there. And I don't know. It was okay being in the Letterman studio, but it was like, whatever. You know, I don't need to go and do it. Interesting to see, of course, at the Ed Sullivan Theater. That was the same theater where, like, the Beatles performed and that big thing. Having some mints here. Wow, that is a huge building I'm looking at here. A gigantic building here. Oh, it's a giant, what is it? A giant breezeway. Let's check this out. This is, let's read this. This through block Galleria provides 189 linear feet of seating, permanent seating 117.5 feet, movable seating 84 feet / 56 chairs. Owner, Paramount Group Incorporated, as agent for 1325 Avenue of the Americas LP, is designated by owner to maintain the Galleria and can be reached at 212-767-1325. Complaints regarding this public space may be addressed to the Department of City Planning or the Department of Buildings of the City of New York. This public space is accessible to the physically handicapped. Let's walk through here and see what they got. So it's like basically a space between buildings. There's a lot of benches and stuff here. And it goes up high. Curved glass ceiling. And on one side you have another elegant restaurant. People in there having food. And then like... on each side, there's like a place where people could, like another, like a walkway kind of thing. All right. Well, we get the idea here. Very nice. All these elegant restaurants. This one looks pretty cool. It has like white wood painted walls and like green and white or black and white vertically striped like seats, like a bench, long bench back thingy. I can't describe anything. Oh, wait. There's another... There's like another through block over here. There's like two through blocks. A lot of through blocks these days. Look at that. That's another cool one. Very nice looking. All right, well, let's go over to this Letterman. Okay. I'm just fascinated by the whole Overnight Cave Underground concept. Oh, there's one of those statues. It's a penny with all those little creatures on it. That's a very popular artist. Their stuff is everywhere. Little creatures and giant pennies and things. But yeah, I think the Overnight Cave Underground is like, I don't know. I think it could be very cool. You know? If basically the idea now, you know, I mean, in the past, doing the show, the Overnightscape, and I'm going to keep doing the Overnightscape, is like a show. It's like a traditional show. It has episodes, it starts and ends, that's it. But those were based on the restrictions of things in the past, right? So the Overnightscape Underground now is sort of going beyond that. Looking at the kind of technology we have for unlimited audio, unlimited archiving, virtually unlimited transfers of audio to anyone that would care to listen. So, very different type of thing by doing pull-ups on the scaffolding. And we are at the 7th Avenue. And I think I just missed a light. Let's see if you can hear the light. The actual traffic lights are based on physical mechanisms. You can actually feel them clicking inside this box here. I don't know if you can hear it on the tape. Let's see if we can actually hear this. We'll get as close as possible here. So this is then, 53rd and 7th. How is this? Ah! Disgusting piece of tape. Come on. You hear that? It's amazing. These lights are based on some sort of physical motor or something, and they're clicking. I'm sure it really... You hear that? Wow, that's amazing. Because I'm sure they could so easily be digital, but they're still mechanical. Very steampunk, right? I'm telling you, there's... About the steampunk thing, like, everyone is obsessed with steampunk these days. Like, on that boingboing.net, every other post is like, oh, someone else made a steampunk laptop computer. You know? It's like, after a while, it gets annoying, but they're cool, though. I don't know. Everyone loves the steampunk. What do we got here? This is, like, between 7th Avenue and Broadway. Like, Broadway is going at an angle, and 7th Avenue is sort of going straight. So here is where... If they're starting to like get closer and closer. So up here, it's not that far between the blocks. But once you get down to Times Square, that's where they cross over. So this is a short block because it's in between the two. And there is a Letterman. I don't think we're going to see anything because Letterman, basically, I think he only works Monday through Thursday. He does two shows on Thursday, so he doesn't work on Friday. So... In one of my old VHS tapes, I just saw, like, they dump things off the roof over here onto the street, like all this paint and all these balls, rubber balls and stuff. There it is, CBS Late Show with David Letterman. Nice, and you have the CBS store, the computers and camera with, like, Mujibur and Sirajul or whatever. Yeah. I'll walk over to that spot where I would normally, what is it, 721? I need to get my bus. Damn it. 720. All right, I'll get the 8 o'clock bus. It's 47 degrees Fahrenheit, 8 degrees centigrade. Ooh, the CBS store is open. And of course, their logo, the all seeing eye. Great.
Okay, in the front. LaShawn,
Alright, there we go. Oh, there you go. The Ed Sullivan Theater office building. Didn't I have that as a location in one of my science fiction stories? That's one thing I'm hoping to do here on the Overnight Escape Underground is to read all of my old science fiction stories and stuff. That would be very cool. So here, over here, is these stage doors. Of course, there's nothing going on here now. But there's Rose Lane. It looks like there's a line of people trying to get into Rose Lane. But yeah, here's the doors. Very nondescript when there's nothing going on. But this is where people would all hang out, check out the celebrities at the Letterman show. They can scamper into their navigators to get away from the normal keeper. David Letterman. Yes. Here we go. Wow, everyone's like, this whole sidewalk's taken up by people waiting in line. I wonder what they're going to see. I hate going to shows. I hate going to Roseland. I really do. It's like, I hate it. It's just such an annoying process. Waiting in line, being like patted down and searched, and having things confiscated and all this stuff. I don't know. I just, and the big crowds and everything. Oh, this is actually, it's not to Roseland. This is to The Color Purple, the musical starring Fantasia Barrino. But she's just called Fantasia now, not Fantasia Barrino. The Color Purple. Okay. Yes, everyone's going to head in there and check out the show. Now, here is cool. This is Broadway. And going on down Broadway, really beautiful view of Times Square. And I cannot take a picture of it, of course, because my battery ran out. I think I'm going to have to get the higher capacity battery for my Trevo. Now, here is the line for the Roseland. Okay. Now, they're a very different crowd. This is more like punk, goth and punk kids waiting in line. So let's see, one of those kind of bands. Let's see. People buy ironic t-shirts, D.W. Smith. There's a typo negative shirt. Maybe that's, I don't know. Let me, Jersey Boys. No, that's not it. Let me go walk across the street and see what's playing there so we can see what the young gothic kids are waiting for. Last time I went there was for what? I saw the Raconteurs here, yeah, with Jack White and stuff. Yeah. It's like a ritual of going to see these things. I don't know, man. I'm not down with it. What do we got here? It is... I can't see. I need glasses. I really... At some point, I'm just going to admit the friggin'... I just need some friggin' glasses. I don't know. I'm almost at a point where I'm just going to... like, just admit I need glasses and just, like, get some glasses. It's not quite that bad yet, but it's getting there. Rockstar Energy presents Viva LA Bands. Okay. I'm not sure what bands are involved. Oh, God. It's disgusting. It's a whole room full of meat. It's disgusting. Oh. Here's a Novotel. It's Novo, like new hotel. So it's like a new hotel. Novotel. Yes. Novas. Nova. Nova. Okay. Got Dwayne Reed over here. What else? Where is the... There used to be the coolest arcade. I think it was just called the Broadway Arcade. And that's long gone. I used to come down here to play Assault and other games when I was an intern at MTV. News, and I used to get in trouble for taking long lunches and going to play video games instead of working as an intern. New York Sports Clubs is NYSC. This is what used to be the arcade, definitely right here. Yeah, I'm almost 90% sure because the back sort of goes down like a ramp, and that sort of had the arcade. Here's a gift store. Would be great. Right here, there used to also be a Pommes Frites place, and it's gone now. Like, really good French fries, gone. That damn cholesterol scare got rid of all that stuff. Here is...
There's some racism.
This guy, he just held up a CD, and he's like, there's some racist motherfuckers around here. People trying to like sell their CDs. Oh, wow. That's a classic view of Times Square. You have the Sean John poster. P. Diddy, or what's his name now? P. Daddy or Diddy holding his fist up. Argent, whatever that is. Video ads, everything. Beautiful view. Beautiful view. Beautiful night there in NYC. And here's Mars 2112 Bar and Restaurant and Bar. I've never gone here. I've never gone to the Mars 2112 ever. Maybe someday I will. I don't know. It's a science fiction themed restaurant. Sounds like it would be good. I just don't know why I never went there. I don't know. Should we just go look? We may as well, let's just go look. Look in, let's go down. You have to go down. It's like from the street you look down one level. Let's just go check it out, you know, see what's going on in there.
CT and then a pie.
A bunch of kids with balloons here. Let's go see. There's like a mob, life-size model spaceship. I don't know. Try our authentic Martian cuisine. Woohoo. Let's see what they got here. I'm just going to look. I don't really feel like going in there. I'll just go into like the menu. If I go in here, this is the first time I've ever actually gone in. Admission, $2 per person. What the hell? Whoa. I don't know. This is the gift store. A queue area. Do I want to go in? I don't know. You know, no, I don't. Someday I'll do it. I don't know. $2, that's not that bad. I'll do it eventually, you know. Someday I'll do it. I don't know why I never went there, though. I will try it out someday. The Mars. Okay. Here we go. Walking up back to street level. So what do you think? How do you think this Overnight Escape Underground is going to work out? I mean, I don't know. When is this piece being broadcast? Is it day one, day two? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know when is it going to be broadcast. What is Frank TV? TBS. Very funny. That's the big question. What is Frank TV? I don't know. I really don't know what Frank TV is. Walking down here to Times Square. Yeah, I really gotta kind of see a clock. Is there a clock around? It's still 47 degrees, and what is the time? 7:29, yeah, so gotta head over. I gotta get the 8 o'clock bus. This is getting ridiculous. I'm gonna be home a little bit late. I can't even call my wife, you know. Gotta get moving here.
We got a live stand up comedy show.
Yay, stand up, yay. This is one of those times, like, the street is, like, you're across the street blocked by all these different vehicles, and some sort of, like, an official construction vehicle. Everyone has to go around it all. Some gravel on the back of this truck. What is Frank TV? I don't know. Oh, look, the Jerry Orbach Theater, The Fantastics, the perfect musical. I never saw The Fantastics, but I used to live. Guys, what do they say, blowing? Learn to work the saxophone. I play just what I feel. Drink scotch whiskey all night long. Die behind the wheel. Yes, a little singing a little bit of Steely Dan there. Deacon Blue. Oh, look, some Netsuke. I was just talking about that recently. Little Netsuke. There's a non-erotic Netsuke. And here's all the electronics, all the little video cameras and stuff. Zooms, of course, iPods, everything. Everyone, they got everything over here. Yes. Phone. Everything. I need a friggin' battery for my friggin' Trio. That's what I need. Here's that music store. What's it called? Colony. I got like everything here for music, sheet music, and everything. All sorts of stuff. Yes. What is this? Look, a plate signed by Pete Rose. Now, and that is pretty cool. The baseball player Pete Rose. Yeah, Colony is like a classic store from like the old days. Music. Where was the? There was the Howard Johnsons. One of the last Howard Johnsons in the country was right here in Times Square. I forget where it was. I think it was a few blocks down. You know. So. Oh man. This poor woman. She's like, her face is covered with a scarf. She's handing out something for some hairdresser or something. Now here is some real art. Look, Andy Warhol tomato soup can. What do they got over there? It's like art with bottles of whiskey in it. Michael Godard or something? I don't know. Whatever.
That's like all the catwalks and stuff still around. Like, it's legit.
Yes, tourist store. Got all your FDNY stuff. What's this? Visit Zidio.com, Z-I-D-D-I-O, SpotlightLive.com. Oh, I'm looking at an ad for something called Spotlight Live, and then right under it is a sign, Spotlight Live, produced by something, Zidio. Oh, what is that? Is this like? Oh, wait, hold on. I've never. What's that song? Take Five? Where is that coming from? It says Spotlight Live and produced by Zidio. And you see like a stage, but is that what's really going on in there right now? Or is that, I don't know. It's interesting. Like, I don't know. And there's a ton of video screens showing the same thing in there. But could it be like something's going on in there right now? Maybe I should. All right, maybe I'll go over there and see. Because that's in that new building, right next to the M&M's World. Oh, here's another saxophone player. Learn to work the saxophone. Oh, he's putting his jacket on. Maybe he's cold. Poor saxophone player. Let's see what he's going to play now. Get some more saxophone moving. Oh, look, the Crown Plaza Hotel. I remember I went to a seminar here. That guy, Edward Tufte, the visual display of quantitative information. I went to one of the seminars there. That was quite cool. All right, this guy is like, he's putting his jacket on. I can't wait. Here's the Hershey store. Anything new? No, whatever. I don't like that store. All right. I want to go see this spotlight thing, but I gotta get home too, you know what I'm saying? But I'm kind of fascinated. Like, what is it? They have L'Occitane here, Starbucks. It's like a whole new thing. I don't know. The giant billboard of the M&M characters. Dale and Thomas popcorn over there. What is Arjen? It says, there's like a subtitle to it, but I can't read it. Argent something. Worldwide, no. Michelin, no. I need glasses, this sucks. I don't want to have glasses. Argent, Metro, it's like all blurry. It sucks. I have a vision problem. And I'm walking through traffic here to try to get these giant trucks like this. Like one of those giant trucks to put a sign up. Beowulf. The Angelina Jolie. It's funny, Angelina Jolie, I mean, she used to be very, like the most beautiful woman ever. Now she's just like a creep. She really is like a weird creature now. It's so annoying. All right, here's Spotlight powered by Zidio. Let's check it out. So, it's like a bar. I don't know. There's a bar. Spotlight restaurant and bar. Yeah, you can't really see much from here. I guess they must, I don't know. Maybe it's cool, like if they're showing you on a video screen, like what's going on in there, like a giant video screen. That's kind of cool, I would think. Here's the entranceway, 1600 Broadway. These are like condos, you can live here. I remember looking them up, they're like the cheapest, like a studio, like one room is like something like $1.6 million to buy, you know. Who are these people who have that much money to buy a studio apartment? I don't know. I don't know. Must I say it? The Illuminati people, okay? Whatever. There's a Dale and Thomas popcorn. Oh, look, Dale and Thomas popcorn was selected by Oprah's magazine as one of her favorite things, quote unquote. Great. tasty delight. NYC camera, or NY camera, lids, jamba juice. We got everything. I gotta get moving. No, I can't. That other clock, I like to sort of see that other clock, but I can't see it anymore. No clocks in sight. Gotta get a time check here. Come on. There's the Olive Garden. Is it a compressor, or it's actually a generator? A generator. What's going on over here? Some chef guy talking to this other guy.
We were sitting in Thomas's office, and you fucking.
So they were sitting in Thomas's office, and you fucking. Little fragments of stories. Thomas's office. Alright, let's go here. So, how are you enjoying the Overnight Underground? I hope you're enjoying it. 24 hours per episode. I guess is that way I'm going to be saying it? Sort of like it is. That's sort of the simplest way of conceiving of it, right? You know, it is sort of like a show that's 24 hours per episode. Believe me, I'm working on this. So I've been working on this for so long. It's been getting so aggravating. I want to get it going already. But I'm very cautious because, you know, I had that other project, Anything But Monday Show, that was a disaster. And we started it. We planned it before the Mercury retrograde, but we started it in the middle of this Mercury retrograde, right? In the middle of February of this year, 2007. And was a disaster. You know, it was a disaster, really. So I want to make sure I got the right ideas here. I mean, this is not something that I'm committing to a lot of stuff or a lot of, you know, it's not the same kind of project as Anything But Monday Show. Something like that. But at the same time, I want to make sure I'm not just wasting my time and not whatever, you know. We're back to here. This is where I was recording in the morning here on 6:54. Okay. Yes. Great. There's a lot of people here. Oh, there's a clock. Yeah, I got about 20 minutes or so to the top of the hour. Sound is the sound. Okay. I'm not making much progress here. I gotta get. And we're right in the center of Times Square. Virgin Megastore, Planet Hollywood, Marriott Marquis, the Drowsy Chaperone, the MTV, the Swatch, the South American pan flute, or is that a pan flute, or is it may just be a non-pan flute, just a flute. Whatever. Okay. Longines. Stop. As hot as ever. What are we doing here? Everyone's taking their pictures of Times Square. It's a beautiful place. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Yes, it is a lot of people. Definitely. Heck of a lot. I like this weather. It's right now is great. 47 degrees or 8 degrees in that other metric. It's nice. It's not. It's a little bit of a breeze. You know, I have a kind of a coat on. You know, it's not zipped up or anything, but it keeps me nice and warm. Beautiful. I like this weather though a lot. This is really nice. It's nice and crisp. Right, here's someone. Okay.
And they're warning the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Prepare yourself, for you'll be burned alive. Worse than Sodom.
Yes, warning people about the wrath of God and stuff like that, you know, that kind of stuff.
Hey, guys, let's sit down.
In Times Square, it's either guys that are trying to get people to go to stand-up comedy clubs or Scientologists handing out their literature. Those are the major elements here in Times Square. Stand-up comedy and Scientology. They almost sound the same. Scientology, stand-up comedy, right? Interesting. Is that a conspiracy? No. I don't think so. Element and Billabong. Maybe I should just shut up and we can hear the people around here talking. There's some people. People cursing, people talking about stories.
department today.
All right, we'll get some ambient audio. Some hippie type people around here, so there must be some. Who's playing here? Look, Phil Lesh. Must be like a Grateful Dead type of thing. Oh man, there's all these like Deadhead type people out here. Cool. Phil Lesh and friends, wow. A real Grateful Dead type thing going on. Nice. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I like Grateful Dead type stuff. Phil Lesh and friends. All the hippies hanging out. Nice. Slow going here. Look, the Michelin Man. A weird, like an evil animated version. I can never remember the name of that novel. Virtual Light, maybe? That William Gibson or Neal Stephenson. The woman is like, she's allergic to logos, especially like the Michelin Man. Interesting. Bubba Goon. Here's this Hard Rock Cafe. Oh, 1501 Broadway. Oh, there's a clock. Okay. Yes, I have 20 minutes for my bus. Very nice. Yeah, I got to solve this battery problem because, like my phone is always, like, dying at the end of every day. People getting their pictures taken. Very nice. Yeah, these, like, grungy little pizza places here, like, right in the middle of Times Square. Grungy, like, pastries and pizza. What's up in there? Hard Rock Cafe. I don't know. They're rocking hard. Yeah, I think that they have like technology. Like if you record like just like a
handbags.
If you record the sound of like crowds, you know, like that noise of just a million people talking. Like they said that you may be able to have software where you can like. Computer can understand the different voices, so maybe you could like separate out each separate conversation and listen to and just like listen to each conversation. That would be kind of cool, right? Here's the Europa Cafe. They have a cool tile pattern there. Oh, here's AT&T. Maybe I can get a battery in here. Nah, whatever. 1. Welcome to the center of the universe. 19,000 square feet available, including street level. The ball drops here. 1 Times Square. Let's see what's going on in the world. Bush vetoes, this is on the zipper, water projects bill. Faces override from Congress. Mukasey confirmation looks likely. Okay. Rice pledges help to Turkey in fighting Kurdish rebels. Rice seeks it. Well, concerns from diplomats over Iraq service. Financial suffer as Dow inches up. Dow Industrials gained 27 points. The market at the moment. Subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. Yeah, this is the classic zipper. I mean, it used to have a different technology, and I think they were going to get rid of it for a while, but now it's back. North Carolina is number 1 in preseason AP Top 25 for 6th time. Edges out UCLA and Memphis. Yankees exercise 16 million option on R.F. Abreu, who has reached 100 RBIs in 5 straight seasons. The zipper. Classic zipper.
How can anybody assure you?
There's the On Taylor Loft. Giant Target ads. With their sun worshiper symbol.
Beautiful old
theaters, making
nice.
Quicksilver. I'm gonna cross here. You know, it's funny how I like to me the aesthetics of walking around is very important. So like sometimes I'll walk down this side of 42nd, but I feel like aesthetically I'd rather walk down the other side of 42nd right now. You know? Aesthetics are very important to me. It's like art. The city is art, too. Everything is art. Everything is fine. Whatever. Oh, here's Champ Sports. Remember I had that dream that this building collapsed? It's right here. And the thing that collapsed, it says, welcome to the Information Autobahn, sprint ahead. It's that sprint sign. That is what, that's where that building was that collapsed. Champ Sports. Sprint sign. They have like a giant video screen of like a phone, I don't know. VOD, video on demand. Okay. So wait, has this been going like consistently since I was in that sculpture garden? That's cool. See, something like this, I wouldn't record something like just to be part of the overnight skate, but for this underground, it's fine. Nuts for nuts. When they had those like those nuts with the sweet coating, like when you walk by those things, the smells are just mind-bogglingly like enticing, you know. And they even have like the deep fried like coconut chunks and stuff. All right. This is where I started recording this morning on 654. Watch, QVC has a new logo. I don't know about that. QVC. Yeah. I don't know about that logo. Again, it's like a circle within a circle, like the sun worshipping thing. Yes, here we go. The thing where you can get your face sculpted. That's cool. Cooking like shish kebab. Ugh. I gotta walk through like a haze of meat smoke. Ugh. Oh, that's nasty. Ripley's, believe it or not. Ugh, that meat smoke just keeps going. I hate meat smoke. I hate it. I don't like it. It annoys me. If I breathe it in, it's like I'm eating meat. That's disgusting. It's nasty. Cold Stone Creamery. Everything going on around here. It's another random day. Very non-random place, 42nd Street, between 7th and 8th Avenues. Modell's Sporting Goods. Gotta go to Modell's. This guy has like one of those Chinese hats on, selling buttons, cartoonists on the street. Everyone is doing their thing here. Like, this person's driving towards me here, trying to just walk. No, they're backing up. Whatever. This is dangerous. There's some horse crap in the ground there. Street there. Yeah. Comcast. TripleLanguage.com. It's a stupid billboard. That's actually where the I Lava New York sign used to be. It said I, and then there was a lava lamp, NY. And no, I never heard anyone talk about it, but it was obviously I Lava New York, right? And then they took it down and just put a heart there, because I guess people weren't getting I Lava Lamp New York, I Lava New York. What the hell are these loud noises? What is going on? I can't tell, I have my headphones in, so I'm hearing like the real world around me plus the recording that I'm making at the same time. Yes. Okay. 8th Avenue. And here we are, arriving at the great Port Authority Bus Terminal. It's a terminal for buses run by the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. There's more meat smoke over here now. Ugh. Yeah, it's like more meat smoke. Oh, this sounds like all hazy over here. Ugh. Yes. Port Authority Bus Terminal. Alright, we're here. That's it. Ooh. Attention bus terminal customers. A concourse bulletin for your information. Here we go. Concourse. Here's a It's a little newsletter. Typeset, of course, in the classic Times New Roman. Ay, ay, ay. Concourse. November 1st, 2007, was a dreadful day for anyone trying to commute through the Lincoln Tunnel after 8:30 a.m., with delays easily exceeding 60 minutes. Yes, this happened to me. I was stuck in traffic, in terrible traffic. I wondered what was going on. Here's what it says. At approximately 8:30 a.m., a tractor-trailer traveling westbound in the north tube of the Lincoln Tunnel rear-ended a bus traveling in front of it. The accident was violent, causing substantial damage to both vehicles and resulting in a significant debris and fluid spill on the roadway. Both vehicles had to be towed from the tunnel and fluids removed properly. The north tube was finally reopened at 9:30. Notes: with the closure of the north tube from the accident, there was no place for the empty buses exiting the Port Authority bus terminal to go. As a result, the empty buses backed up onto the ramps and gridlocked the terminal. Extreme delays occurred as inbound buses continued to stack in back of the non-moving line of buses. Attempts were made to move the buses exiting the center tube and divert them onto 48th Street and then to southbound 9th Avenue. Unfortunately, this diversion proved ineffectual. Is that a right word? Shouldn't it be ineffective? Ineffectual, as traffic and pedestrians blocked bus movement. Thank you for your patience during this difficult situation. Mark Schaff, Operations Manager, Port Authority Bus Terminal and Lincoln Tunnel. That's nice that they actually... Like, I was wondering, because even when I got to work, this girl Kathy I work with, she's from New Jersey too, and she's like, yeah, it took me hours to get to work. I'm like, yeah, everything was all backed up. So it was one... And it was obviously the truck driver's fault, you know. This big rig driver, you know, tractor-trailer driver just rear-ends a bus. Gee, thanks, guy. Thousands or tens of thousands of people were inconvenienced by that one bit of inattention. Here we are in the restroom. Zip up my fly with one hand here because my other hand is holding the recorder. There we go. All right. I want to get somebody a drink, but I have like no money. I like getting those naked juices, but they're like $4.95 or something. I think I have like $2. Maybe I can buy like a. I think I can buy like a water or something. I don't know. I could buy something small for like $2. $2 doesn't go very far anymore. What do I got? Let's see. There's a dollar. $1. Oh. That's all I have. I only had two. What can I get with $1? This is ridiculous. Where's my other dollar? Damn it. You know, this sucks. I want to get something to drink. Okay, oh, I have a dollar in coins. Interesting. All right. I'm like poor. I have like nothing. I need to get something to drink, damn it. Sweet factory. My band-aid fell off before, but I left it off. I've been trying to keep my thumb safe. But, what am I going to get to drink here? I don't know. I want to get one of those naked juices, but I don't have enough money. These are the tough choices you have to make when you're poor. Okay, I can't get the drink that I want. I have to get another drink. Okay. Go into Hudson News and get a drink. I'll put the thing in my pocket for now. Dasani Lemon, natural lemon flavored water beverage with other natural flavors.
hopefully the natural flavors are not derived from animals, because I found out these natural flavors can come from animals. I cannot imagine how an animal, like a pig or a cow, could contribute to the taste of lemon, though. There's Leisure Time Bowl. They always play very loud music there. That's a temporary entrance of the bowling alley. Now to the gate over here. I think it was it this morning or... This morning or... I think it was the morning when we were late, or one of those days. Like, the bus let us off here, but it was the other end of this one. I'm like, where the hell are we? So I went down the stairs. I'm like, oh, we're here at this gate. All right, 7:54 or so. So look, I started recording an hour and 15 minutes ago. Okay. Here's the line. Yes, it is. Okay. So, what do I do over here? Shall I, go over here? Alright, so I guess, it's kind of hard to record when I'm standing in line, but just not moving next to the people. So, I guess we'll call it a day, a night, whatever, here at the gate. For the sculpture garden, and then walking around segment of the overnightscape underground. There's that pink lock again. Darn pink lock. What is up with that pink lock? I don't know. Good night.